about his some of his story this morning. We've heard a little bit about Pastor Aburi and some of his story, and I'm sure there are others, if we talk amongst the congregation today, of some of your stories of how you've influenced and changed and transformed situations that you have been in. And I suppose as good Christians, as we listen about that, and the first thing that comes to our mind is this whole aspect where Jesus talks about as being salt and light. Because we often hear sermons about salt and light, and you and I are called to be salt and light. We are called to go out into the world and be a transformatory people, to change circumstances, to bring the light of the gospel, to be salt that preserves and to changes and flavours. But I don't want to talk about that this morning either. Because I think you've heard more than enough about salt and light. Last week, Dave was talking about prayer. And was talking about individual prayer and corporate prayer and how prayer changes things, how prayer gets into the heavenlies, takes hold of God's heart, brings it down into this world and changes circumstances and situations. And I think you would agree with me that we are experiencing so much rapid change in our world today, that we are experiencing so many things so changing so quickly that sometimes we turn around and we think, my goodness, what's going on? Where am I in the midst of all of this? How can I influence these things? Because the moment I pick up a newspaper, it's old hat. As soon as I go on the Twitter feed, it's old hat. As soon as I pick up Facebook, it's old hat. Things have moved on. Things have developed, things have changed. How can I be an agent of change in a rapidly changing, dynamically altering world? Romans 12:2, Apostle Paul says this to the church. It says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you can test and approve what is God's good and perfect will. It's on the heart of God that no matter how fast things are changing around us, no matter how fast society changes, how fast our lives change, God's mandate on us as a people of God, as the church of God, as his representatives here on earth, is to be an agent of change. God's not caught out by the speed of societal change. He's not caught out by the speed of time passing by. The older you get, the faster it goes, so I'm told. I'm still young, so I'm still trying to experience that. Hence the pause. But God calls us to be agents of change. He really does. So I was beginning to wonder and think about this and thinking, God, how can I be an agent of change? What are those change agents that are working in my life that cause me to change, that then enables me to work into somebody else's life and cause them to change? And I began to muse about this, and I started to come up with a bit of a list, and the list went on, and it'll come up on the screen in a minute, but there's things that I felt there were aspects of change. Things like salvation. Doesn't that change you? And as we bring salvation through our words and our deeds and our actions, and just by saying, God has transformed me, God has done this for me, we can begin to open other people up to being aware that God loves them, God wants to change them, God wants to transform their lives. Take what's broken in them, take what's shameful in them, take what is not right in them, take hold of it, transform it and change it and make them pure, clean, holy and new. What about grace, humility, kingdom of God, holiness? You can read them yourselves there. To me, they were just some of the agents of change that I began to get a hold of and began to think about and began to say, Lord, what do you want to bring out this morning? And I've picked one of those, and we'll get to that in a minute. But in terms of an agent of change, you've got to be interested in something to be an agent of change. Because if you're not interested in something, you'll just blasé, passively accept what's going on. But if you are interested in something, you give your all to it. And as you give your all to it, you begin to change and it begins to change because you're beginning to put your efforts into it. You're changing it. You're transforming it. So what are we interested in today? What are you interested in? What am I interested in? It could be our family. It could be health. It could be wealth. It could be theology. It could be the kingdom of God. It could be finances. It could be the Holy Spirit. It could be controversy. I know some people who like controversy. If you want to argue why, they'll argue back because it's just fun. It's just what they like to do. And there's nothing wrong with some of those things, but if we really want to change this world, if we really want to be God's agents of change here and now, in our day, in our generation, in our life, and I hope all of you have that heart's desire to ensure that your life counts for something. Don't just wander through your life being a Christian and walk into heaven and go, oh, I'm here. Wow, fantastic. I've said it before, I'm impressed by the Bear Grylls quote where he says he wants to arrive bursting through the gates of heaven, battered, bruised, shaping what he's done, but crashing into heaven and going, God, I'm here! And what a ride I've had, and a way I've influenced people and changed people and experienced your world, but now I'm here to experience God in the flesh. That's how we ought to be, I think, wanting to get into heaven, not just, well, I've turned up, Lord. Thank goodness for that. Yeah. But if we're going to be agents of change here and now, do we know what God's interested in? Because I want to put it to you that if we are going to be those effective agents of change, if we are going to be those people who will touch our society, touch our friends, touch our family, touch this nation, and touch the nations of the world, we've got to get on God's agenda. We've got to get on God's plan. We've got to get onto what is interesting in Him. And because what interests God is where God's working, and where God's working, change comes. So if we want to be agents of change, we've got to get in line with God. Not expecting God to get in line with us. So what is God interested in? Yes, all those things there and more. Because that's not an exhaustive list. But the one thing that struck me, and I racked my brains, and I thought, I don't hear too many sermons on this. The one thing that I feel that God wants for me to bring out this morning for you is found in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45, and it summarized this: consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. It's the holiness of God. As we allow the holiness of God to infuse our lives, to impart Himself into us, as He allows us, and as we allow Him to work within us, to be consecrated and to allow us to be holy just as He is holy, then when we are holy like Him, we will have the same interests, same passions, same desires, same influences as He has and He has got. And when we have the same influences as He has got, things inevitably change. They can't stand still. They can't be static. They have to change because God is constantly changing. In that sense, another sense is He's always the same. But God is always doing something. He's always looking to intervene. He's always looking to touch your life. He's always looking to transform something. Leviticus 19:2 says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." God is interested in holiness, and therefore I think we should also be interested in holiness. But what is holiness? Holiness is God Himself. It's what He wants us to be. It's coming up a little bit later, but the Greek word for holiness and holy is hagiasmos and hagiasos. And the essence of those words means it's to reflect exactly what is pure and clean. There is absolutely no impurity. There is no darkness. You know, we talk about light. You know, even now, that we look on a sunny day like today, and it looks bright, it looks light, but there is still dark spots within that. If you talk to the physicists, there is still darkness in that light. But when you look at God's light, His holy light, His pure light, there is no blemish, there is no darkness. If I took a torch and shined it in your face, you'd react to it, but the holiness and the light and the brightness of God goes beyond anything that we can produce here on earth. It's pure, it's holy, it's clean, and that's how God wants us to be. His holiness brings us face to face with the character of God, and it confronts us with what he wants us to be. And that sometimes is a scary place to be, isn't it? Because we can all be happy with the impurities in our lives. We can all be happy with those excuses for not being like God. We can all be happy with saying, well, do you know what? That's just me. Just accommodate that. I can live with that little bit of sin. I can live with that little bit of darkness. I can live with that little bit of, well, God doesn't really touch that area of my life and God's not interested. I'm telling you today, God is interested. And I tell you what, the last week or two, as I've been looking at this, I feel like I've been put through the ringer because God has said, okay, if you want to be holy and you're going to talk to my people on holiness, then you've got to get some stuff sorted out in your life. And by God, I tell you what, it's not been easy. It's been a very, very uncomfortable place. But God doesn't do it to bring you down. God does it to transform you, to bring you up so that you are more like him, therefore more effective for him, more of a transformer for him. God's holiness. It lets us see what Jesus was truly like. It lets us see that holiness is not an unattractive, legalistic behavior. You know, we often hear the comment, don't we? Oh, you're holier than me. The holier than thou attitude. That's not what God's talking about. He's not talking about refining you, changing you, transforming you, so you can go around and go, just look at me. Look how good I am. I don't commit that sin. I don't say that over there. I don't gossip. I don't lust. I'm not selfish. I'm not jealous. Wow. No, God doesn't do that. God's transforming you so that you can recognize that you are being changed by someone holier than you. Not so that you could be holier than them. God wants to transform you so you can be his pure, clean, holy representative here on earth. And when you are that, and we'll talk about this in a minute, when you are that, then transformation, change automatically comes along with it. You know, 2 Timothy 1:9 is a call to holiness. It says we must be living a holy and a godly life. In fact, if you start to look at how many things and how many times holiness is mentioned in the Bible, I was shocked. Holiness is important to God. Holiness is a key thing for God's kingdom agenda. And you and I, if we're going to be part of that, and I hope that we are, we need to learn to allow God to make us to become more holy. Isaiah 40:25 says, God speaking, he says, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Yes, we are created in God's image. Yes, we are called by his name when we've come to salvation. Yes, we are, but we are sinners saved by grace, are we not? We are people who are made in God's image but defaced by sin. Romans 3 talks about how vile and degraded our very being is in the sight of God. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is incredibly deceitful. In fact, it's more deceitful than anything else. And yet, here is God in his purity and his holiness, recognizing that we have been created in his image. We have fallen, we have sinned. We are so far from his holiness and his purity. He doesn't just fold his arms and go, well, never mind. He reaches out through the blood of Jesus, through the cross of Jesus Christ, the pure, holy one, the Son of God, who came and lived as a man, who experienced what you and I experience. In terms of the temptations, the hardships, the difficulties, the problems, the irritations, who walked through that without sinfulness, was then nailed to that cross, shed his blood and said, Father, forgive them. And as he did so, the curtain in the temple that had separated God in the Holy of Holies from the rest of the people was ripped in two, and the holiness of God flooded out into mankind, into society. And the church picked it up in those early days, and they swept out onto the streets, preaching and proclaiming the goodness of God, bringing miracles, seeing healings, getting lives transformed, the dead being raised back to dead, the lame seeing, the blind, no, the lame seeing, The lame walking, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, people in poverty having resources to them. The society was turned upside down. Because the holiness of God has broken out. I think sometimes we've kind of closed it back off again. And said, God, you stay in your holy of holies. Because getting that close to you really means I've got to change. And I'm not quite so sure I want to change. But God says, no, I want to break out. I want to change. Not just your life, but lives of those around me. You know, when I thought about this whole thing of agents of change, this is what came to mind. And Alex is going to play a little video about some the first one with the multiple men and women, not the second one. For those of you not sure, that's Iron Man. To be an agent of change. Oh. I tell you what, that's how God, in one sense, wants us to be in the spirit. You know, all those people were individuals, human people, and suddenly something happened to them and they transformed and changed into superheroes. The trouble is, I don't often feel like that. I really don't. And you think, yeah, there's a place in the kingdom of God for people like that, but not many of us are called to be like that, in the same sense of that, you know, phenomenal, super, you know, stand back, I'm Superman, I'm the Hulk kind of person. But in the spirit, we can be. In the spirit, we can be like that. The thing is, with holiness, you know, it is a process. The Bible calls it sanctification. It's a process of change. You know, all those people that you've just seen, they all just changed, isn't there? There was a process that they all went through. Iron Man, his suit came upon him. The Hulk changed from mild-mannered David Banner to a great green Hulk. Superman changed from Clark Kent into Superman. There was a process of change that took place. And this is where God's holiness comes in. Yes, God wants to equip us to be like those mighty superheroes, but he does it through a process of sanctification. It's not down to you or I in one sense. God does it. He looks at you, Trevor, and he says, Trevor, you can be a Hulk in the spirit, but not because of what you have done, but because of what I am doing in you. Bible says we are being changed through his spirit. And it's a progressive act. Sanctification is a progressive act. And there are two parts to it. There's a passive part and there's an active part. We're passive because we can't do it ourselves. We have to rely on God. We have to open ourselves up. We have to yield ourselves to him and say, Lord, your Bible says to me, your word says to me, be holy for I am holy. I want you to be holy. So therefore, God, I know I can't be holy. I am a sinner. I get things wrong. I make mistakes. I have problems in my life. But I am looking to you. I am giving my life to you. I'm opening up myself to you to say, God, come and change me, transform me, and make me more who you want me to be. So it's active because we have to yield ourselves. It's passive because we can't do it. We have to allow God to do it. And Dave was talking a bit last week about this whole same thing with prayer, having an individual and a corporate dimension. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. And I want to put in there, and to holiness. Let us stir one another up. A few years ago, I remember in the church, there was very much a sense of accountability groups and being accountable one to another and having a little group of people who you could be accountable to. And when you were struggling, you could go to them and you could say, look, I'm really struggling with this and this and this. And you don't publicize it, but they could stand with you and pray with you and help you through it. God wants to see you transformed to be a superhero, not necessarily somebody who struggles and says, I just cannot do it. Interestingly enough, I came across a little bit of research recently. There's an organization called HeartMath, and they're doing some research, and technically, in a very brief nutshell, it says that the heart has got an electrical field around it, and they've done some tests on emotions and said, okay, when you get angry, how does the electrical field around the heart change? And they've done a whole lot of measures and a whole lot of over 10 or 11,000 people. And they've decided, do you know what the biggest change is of all the emotions, whether it be anger, jealousy, lust, love, patience, whatever? The one that changes the heart magnetic field most of all is love. And not just by a little bit compared to everything else. All the others are kind of on the graph, they bumble along like this, about this high. Then they get to love, and love's right up here. The transformation of a loving heart makes a big difference into lives and into society. But anyway, that's a little aside. So, sanctification. Yes, it affects our will, it affects our body, it affects our spirit. And there was a guy called John Newton, who some of you may have come across. He was a slave trader in about the 1700s, 1800s. And some of us, you will know who he is. And he wrote these words, and it echoes what Paul says, really. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be, and I am not what I hope to be. But thank God, I am not what I used to be. And you and I can echo that, and he wrote that hymn there, Amazing Grace. Because he recognized that in the brokenness of his life, in the way that he had put people down, the way he had enslaved and changed people's lives for the negative, he now, God took hold of him, turned his life upside down through an amazing grace, and his holiness was working within him, and he brought this statement out. And we can echo that, I think. This next slide, does anybody know what this stands for? Okay, PBG, I put it up there, look. Please be patient, God has not finished with me yet. Okay, please be patient. I remember years ago, my dad was a bit of an open-air preacher, and there was one day, he had this big badge on, and he just got those letters at the top there on this badge, and he was walking around the streets with it on. And I was like, you know, a teenager and feeling mortified that my dad was doing this sort of stuff anyway, but having a big badge on that said this. And he wouldn't tell me what it stood for. And he was walking around, and people come in and say, what's that mean? And he would kind of hint but not tell. And then he would, later on, as he gathered a lot of people around him in the open air, and he had an art board, and he used to do all kind of paints on the art board and tell stories through an uncovering of letters and pictures as he was preaching the gospel. And he said, this stands for, please be patient. God has not finished with me yet. And that's holiness at work. You and I are not the finished article. You and I are not the end. You and I are not the superhero that we've just seen depicted. You and I are a work in progress, and we don't need to beat ourselves up about the fact that we're not holy. What we do need to be is we need to have set our faces and say, yes, I am on this journey from what I used to be, like John Newton said, praise God, I'm no longer like that. Yes, I am not yet achieved it. I am not yet what I want to be. But praise God, I am on the way. And that's what sanctification is. It's the journey of transforming you from a life that was lost, a life that was full of guilt and shame and empty, into a life that is pure, clean and holy and usable in incredible ways by God himself. You know, you might look at that thing and think, you know, being holy is like being that superhero. I just cannot achieve it. I cannot get there. And I thought the same. So I found this. This suits me more. This is where I feel I'm more like. Run the VT, Alex. I tell you, that's more like how I feel. Have you noticed? He's a bit of a bumbling character. He's a bit of a, you know, he's trying his best. He's having a go. Everybody thinks, oh, you can't attain too much. It's definitely not the janitor, my old man janitor, Henry. You know, he just, you know, nobody takes much notice of him. But do you know what? He does his best. He tries hard. He has a go. And did you notice something specific? He was useless at his job. But he had Spot the Cat. And it was actually Spot the Cat. If you can remember Hong Kong Fu, those of you a certain age, it was always Spot the Cat that turned it around and made Henry, or Hong Kong Fui, look like the superhero. And that's the Holy Spirit with you and I. If you and I allow ourselves just to be the bumbling janitor, just to have a go, just to do the best that we can do, the Holy Spirit comes alongside like Spot the Cat, always there, doing what you can't do, changing the circumstances, and seeing you then take the accolade for what's actually happened. You know, and that's more like how I feel. I can't identify so much with the Batman, the Superman, the Hulk. I can identify with him. Because he makes mistakes. He gets it wrong. But he does his best. And God takes that and transforms that as long as you and I allow him to. Putting it into our context, you know, have you got a tongue? Have you got a tongue? Use it for your neighbor's profit. Talk to them. Chat to them. Encourage them. Bless them. Share things with them that has took place in your life. Just chat what God's done. You don't have to be super spiritual. Just chat what God's been doing, how he's helped you at work. You know, how things are difficult sometimes, but with God's help, you know, I get through it. It doesn't have to be much more than that. Have you got a feeling heart? Have you got a heart that beats in your chest today? If you have, strive to be a comforter. Show compassion to people. Show the need. You know, we've got people who are working with Release International. We've got Hope for Justice. We've got CAP. People have got a heart, so they're showing compassion to those around them. You don't have to be the caped crusader. You can be the Hong Kong Fui just by having a compassionate heart and seeing lives changed. Have you got a pair of hands? You got a pair of hands. What can you do to demonstrate God's love on a practical level? It might be picking up someone's washing off the line when your neighbour's out and the wind's blowing it off. It might be seeing someone who's got heavy bags that just need carrying. It might be that you can just put them together and pray for somebody. What measure of support can you bring? You might not be a superhero in the faith, as of a Superman, a Hulk, a Thor, an Iron Man. But we can all be a bumbling janitor who offers themselves to make a difference. And as we do, God comes alongside us and he takes our natural human flawed offering. He takes hold of it. He fuses it with his Holy Spirit. And through a process that's only known to God, he takes it and makes it something incredible, something beautiful, something dynamic, something life-changing, not only in you, but also in those who you reach out to and who you touch with your life, your hands, your words. And that is how we become agents of change. God coming alongside us, allowing his holiness to fuse our flawed efforts through that process of sanctification. As we allow his holiness to become more in us, we become more holy, we become more like him. And as we become more like him, then we do more of the things that he wants to do. And as we do more of the things that God wants to do, and we work with him in that, then change is inevitable. Change is inevitable, and we can be agents of change. And yes, we might move from the bumbling janitor to the caped crusader, and God's for both of those, because both of them are agents of change. Both of them are superheroes in God's eyes. The thing is, the Bible says he takes the weak, the foolish, the unimportant things in this world, and he makes something from them. If you are weak, foolish, and feeling unimportant today, be encouraged, because God wants to take you. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you with his holiness. He wants to work in your life, and then he wants to work with you, changing somebody else's life, somebody else's circumstance. Are you willing to be changed? Pete, if you and the worship group could come back. I think this last slide I've got, I think it's the last one, Alex, is that right? It's a quote, and some of you might be surprised who quoted it, but it's a guy called Gandhi. And many of you will know Gandhi and his mission in India and how he transformed that nation under the British rule at the time. Be the change you want to see in the world. And that's the challenge today as well. Be the change that you want to see. I started right at the beginning, didn't I, by saying we'll only be agents of change if we're interested in something. If we're not interested in it, we just sit back, we relax, we allow other people to get involved. But if we want to be involved, we then become active. We then become available to do. We then become open to go the extra mile. We then become the change that we want to see in the world. And we've got many today in the church that are like that, but we could all go on and do other things. My challenge to us all today is, are there areas in your life that God's been highlighting that need to transform, that need to be redeemed and sanctified? Are you prepared to allow his holiness to transform you so that you can transform the world around you? It's a partnership, with God being the bigger partner by a long, long way. But he's looking for responsive hearts and minds today. Yes, God could do it supernaturally, but you know, God wants to work with you and I. He wants to partner with us. He wants to see things change in your life so that you can change somebody else's life. So that just like Spot the Cat and Hong Kong Fui, things churn around. But you were held in surprise, maybe, in accolade, maybe, in honour, maybe. But Hong Kong Fui, he always got it wrong. But he always came out on top. God knows that we'll get it wrong. But when we work with him, we come out on top. And that's my challenge to us today, is are we going to allow God's holiness more space in our life? Are we going to allow God's grace more opportunity to work in our life. And I've asked Pete and the worship group to lead us in changing you, I think it is. And this song talks about changing society, but it's through our going, equipped by His holiness, His Holy Spirit. As we go, as we try those steps, if we take those faltering steps, as we allow Him to work with us, we begin to see our streets changed, our city changed, our nation changed, our world changed. And yes, there's a lot that's needing changing at the moment. But through the midst of it, God is at work. God is on the move. The lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring over circumstances and situations. He is speaking into the difficult, the dark areas to transform it. And He, in His grace, wants you to join Him on that journey. The question is, are we willing? Are we willing? And as Pete and the worship group go through this song, allow God's Holy Spirit, if He already hasn't been working, to just to search your heart and your mind. Be open with Him and say, Lord, are there any areas where I need to change and transform? Are there areas where actually I've not allowed You to begin to work and make me more like You yet? And if that's the case and you want to respond, the front's open. We'll pray with you. We'll ask God to come. We'll ask God to change. If you need that extra support, it's there. But if not, just allow Him to touch you in your seat. Allow Him to change you. And let's go from here into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next week, next month, next year, on that journey of holiness and sanctification, being agents of change, transforming every place we go, where our footsteps step, leaving behind a legacy of transformation rather than a legacy of anonymity.